Pathway to a Promise podcast, episode number 20, with Dr. Lee Bockham, author of The Immutable Laws of Living, the inspirational blueprint to living your meaningful life.
Hi, this is Dan Miller from 48days.com, where I help folks like you find a true path to a meaningful, purposeful, and profitable life in 48 days. Dr. Brad Miller is here to guide you on your path to your promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose on a Pathway to Promise podcast.
So as I work with couples, one of the things I like for them to recognize is that their spouse is doing the best they can. Even if we don't like how they're doing it, it just means that we give them a little bit of empathy. And the same for ourselves. We have to apply that to ourselves.
You're on the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. Brad believes every person has a God-given promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and that you must have a plan and a guide to get there. The Pathway to Promise podcast not only is your guide through the wilderness of depression and disappointment that stand between you and your promised life, but also brings you insights and direction from inspiring, successful thought leaders who have transformed their lives. Welcome to the Pathway to Promise. Now, here's Brad.
Hello again, my good friends. Dr. Brad Miller here with the Pathway to Promise podcast. What an awesome privilege it is for you to join me today as we have some conversation about things that matter, about a meaningful life. We've got a great guest with us here in a little bit, Dr. Lee Bockham, the author of The Immutable Laws of Living, the inspirational blueprint to living your meaningful life. And that's certainly what we're about here at the Pathway to Promise podcast, because our vision, our purpose, our reason for existing is to be a tool and a resource for you to understand that you have a promised life that God has promised to you, that every person has a God-given promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and that a part of the process then of getting to that promised land is to follow a path that has markers along the way, that has places of understanding that you can make progress in your life, and that you need some people to help guide you along the way. Maybe you had a great teacher in your life, or maybe your parents, or maybe a pastor, or someone was a great helpful person to help you guide you along your pathway. We still need that because we have challenges in our life. We went through a divorce, or we have a terrible life-threatening disease, or maybe we just are in the throes of depression. Or maybe a death of a loved one has got us down. Or maybe you lost our job or in deep in debt. Whatever it is, you can overcome that. You can claim your promised life. But it starts, among other things, with a good attitude. Just recently, I heard a song on the radio. And it was by Carly Simon. And I'm an old disc jockey. I'm an old rock and roll disc jockey from the 70s and 80s. And this song is called Attitude Dancing. I hadn't heard it for a long time, but I just love the lyrics of it. And I have that album somewhere stuck away on all my stuff. But I pulled up the lyrics for it, and I love the lyrics. Listen to these lyrics from Attitude Dancing from Carly Simon. There's a new kind of dancing. It's going to be your rage. You just leave yourself behind, like an actor on a stage. Cop a different pose from the pose you're in. Shine a different attitude from underneath your skin. Attitude dancing. Strut around the floor with a new attitude. Now, one thing I want to be sure that you know, that you are privileged that you did not hear me actually try to sing that, because I am a terrible singer. But I love the message of that. Cop a new attitude. Friends, if you're going to change your life, if you're going to bust out of the things that are going on in your life, you have to have a new attitude. And it means that you cannot be the same. You got to believe in yourself, and you got to put in yourself good stuff to help you to do that. Because some things in life you have to adjust to. And a part of the adjustment means that you have to have a different attitude of doing whatever it takes. Before the days of navigation through electronic devices and digital devices on the seas, on the high seas, they would use things like lights and bells and whistles and foghorns to navigate on the shorelines. There's a story about how on one foggy day, the captain of a large naval ship was heading towards the harbor area, and then he saw the light of another ship that was directly in his path. And he grabbed it on the radio and he shouted, "This is Admiral Smith of the United States Navy. Steer yourself 10 degrees south. We are on a collision course. I am coming through with priority orders from the United States Navy." And through the faint fog, he heard the kind of crackling audible reply on the radio, "This is Seaman 4th Class Jones. You steer yourself 10 degrees to the north." And the admiral said to himself, "What is it? This guy's Seaman 4th Class, and I'm an admiral. What in the world does he think he's up to?" So he turned up the radio a little bit more, and he used a stronger tone and with authority, and he barked out, "This is Admiral Smith of the United States Navy. You steer your vessel 10 degrees south. I'm coming through." And through the fog and through the radio came the reply, "This is Seaman 4th Class Jones. You steer yourself 10 degrees north." And the admiral started to get mad then, and he started to, show his authority at this young, insubordinate naval seaman. And he said, "This is Admiral Smith. Steer yourself 10 degrees south immediately, because I am the admiral of a battleship." And through the radio it came through, the voice replied, "This is Seaman 4th Class Jones. Steer yourself 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse." Get it? Some things we are going to have to deal with. And our attitude is kind of like that rudder on that ship, be it a battleship or a little boat. We have to make adjustments in our life. You're either going to be ruled by the rudder in your life or you're going to be destroyed by the rocks of your life. And the choice you have to make is yours, my friend. What kind of attitude are you going to have? In the Bible, it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says we are being transformed into his likeness, the likeness of Jesus, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This has to do with understanding that if you believe in something greater than yourself, you can change, and you must believe that there is an intention, a greater intention for you. And it has to do with your attitude of believing that you can do it and that you can be successful, and that success and a great attitude attracts success. And that's a choice that we make, to have a good attitude, or just to give up and be stubborn and end up smashing ourselves on the rocks. I want to encourage you to make the choice of having a great attitude, to set a pose, as Carly Simon would say, to set a pose, to cop a different pose. I love that kind of thing. Here on the Pathway to Promise podcast, we're all about helping you get a new attitude, a new direction, a new focus in life, to adjust from where you're at to where you can go. On our website, pathwaypromise.com, we have some tools for you there. We have the catalog of our back issues, our back episodes of the Pathway to Promise podcast. We've had some tremendous guests who all give you great training and great insight on how to change your life for the better and claim your promised life. I encourage you to go there and to check that out. And we also have a resource for you there, called The 4-Minute Way to Frame Your Day for Success. It's a small ebook. You go there and you can download it. It's our free gift to you. If you like what you hear here on the Pathway to Promise podcast, certainly would love it if you would give us a rating and a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you are listening to us at. We certainly would be appreciated, and we would be in connection and coordination with you. We love to be helpful to you. I have a degree in transformational leadership, a doctoral degree, and read a lot of books and study a lot of resources, and have worked with lots of people. And let me be one of those resources that helps you, and let the people we bring here to this podcast be helpful to you as well. One of those great resources we have for you now is a great interview with Dr. Lee Bockham, who has written several books on the areas of marriage and family and counseling and how to turn our lives around. And he's written a recent book here that's just released recently here in the first few months of 2018, called The Immutable Laws of Living, the Inspirational Blueprint to Living Your Meaningful Life, and it lays out several laws that are going to be helpful to you to understand, to apply to your life, and it will be a part of your attitude adjustment. So let's get into our interview, our conversation with Dr. Lee Bockham, the author of The Immutable Laws of Living, right now. Lee Bockham is a best-selling author, pastoral counselor, life coach, and self-help speaker based out of Louisville, Kentucky. He spent the past 3 decades coaching folks, couples, individuals, families, organizations, helping them move beyond a survival mold onto a thriving path. Dr. Bockham is the author of 4 nationally recognized books, How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps, Recovering from the Affair, Thrive Principles, and the recently released The Immutable Laws of Living. He also hosts a popular podcast, Save the Marriage and Thrive Nation. Dr. Bockham, Dr. Lee Bockham, welcome to Pathway to Promise.
Hey, Brad. Thanks for having me.
It is excellent to have you with us here on Pathway to Promise. You have a history here of helping people transform their lives in the work that you do, and certainly here at Pathway to Promise, we're all about helping people transform their lives and to achieve what we like to call a promised life, and what you and your writings talk about having a thriving life. I just like to ask you, and you have a new book out here called The Immutable Laws of Living, where you talk about that a lot. What is, tell us, Dr. Bockham, what is meaningful to you? What defines a meaningful life to you?
You know, I think that we're all here for a purpose. We've all got some reason to be here, and I think that's kind of placed within us, and we've got to tap into that. And a lot of times, people, A, don't realize there is that purpose, and B, don't figure out how to get there. But if you're living that purpose out, you draw that meaning in. You know, you find the meaning in what's going on around you that gets you beyond the kind of the tough points. We all have tough points. That's kind of the unavoidable. And so the question is whether we can draw meaning out of that, allow it to kind of stretch us and grow us, so that as we're living out our purpose, it gains momentum. It gets bigger. The thing that is powerful is that we are all here to make an impact in the world. We can't avoid that. We're going to make an impact in the world. And so the question is whether we're going to make a positive impact, make a difference that lives beyond us in a way that helps transform people in a bigger way, or whether we're going to make a negative impact. And so for me, all that's one big package. Are you living your purpose that gives you a deep sense of meaning while you're making an impact in the world?
Well, you say we all have a purpose and meaningfulness in our life. And yet my experience is that a lot of people sense they have a cloud of meaninglessness in their life. They're stuck. They feel like they have reached a place where life isn't fair. How is it that people get stuck and stay stuck? And then what are some of these principles that help people move out of that, the meaningful life you're talking about?
You actually pointed to one right there about life isn't fair. That's one of those common things that we like to believe. And the interesting thing is the law that I talk about with that is that life isn't fair. And so people, when they say life's not fair, they're stating the law as it is. The problem is they're waiting for it to suddenly be fair, that they don't want to step into life until it, you know, somehow evens out. And that's a belief that we carry from our childhood. It's okay.
I'm sorry, you're saying they're waiting for some external factor to make it fair for them rather than something intrinsic, like they graduate from school or they get married to the right person, whatever that is that happens to them instead of them taking claim themselves?
Yeah, so when I was a child, my brother is about 18 months older than I, so there's a lot of rivalry there along the way. And so whenever my parents had something for us, like a cookie, you know, one person got to divide it, the other person got to choose it. And you never saw such a precise cut down the middle as the two of us. You know, whoever got to cut it was making sure, because whoever was going to choose it was going to choose whatever looked like the bigger piece. And in that case, we were measuring what I was getting versus what my brother was getting. What's fair? Did I get my fair share? And that's what I mean by the fair. We're waiting for life to deliver us our fair amount. That's what gets us stuck, because we're waiting for that to come to us. And it doesn't. Life's not built that way. The universe, life is not built that everybody gets some fair share. And the fact is that most of the people telling me about how life isn't fair are right. They're on the winning side of that, though. I mean, they're, if you look at who is, for instance, able to listen to your podcast, that's a very select group in the world. And so just in that piece, we, most of us have already won this, that are able to think about that question. The interesting thing is the people who I think are kind of often on, truly on the losing end. I've been in third world countries to see that that's not even their question. You know, they're not asking it. We're asking it from a different place. And so we get stuck waiting for the fairness. And we kind of walk around stomping our feet saying, you know, this isn't fair because we want it to suddenly be fair. So if we accept that life's not fair, then we can leave that behind and start looking for how we take advantage of where we are and what our own specialness is in the world.
So have an awareness of the issue, an awareness of the adversity, claim it, and then move forward from that, is what I'm hearing you say. And then out of that process, we need to take some actions to move out of that. At least that's from my perspective. What do you think, Dr. Bachmer, some of those bold actions, some of those things that break those patterns where we go, feel like life's unfair? What are with some things that we can actually do?
Yeah, so one big one is gratitude. One of the things we know about the physiology of the brain is that it functions easily at a fear factor, right, from a scarcity, that we don't have enough factor. That's kind of built into our brain because that helps us survive. At least it helped us survive when things were a little more lean, a little more frightening and scary. And so when we allow our brain to always be functioning on that fear place, we're always looking for, I don't have enough, I'm at risk, I'm at threat. We can make a shift, and that is gratitude, to be grateful. And often, you know, I watch people as they talk about, you know, what good is it to say, have a blessing at a meal? Well, that's it. You're saying, I'm thankful for this. You're making a shift in your brain. And if we get through our day by looking for those things to be grateful for, it actually changes the physiology, the phase of our brain. Our brain can't do both. It can't be both in gratitude and in fear or scarcity. And so if we're looking around with gratitude, if we're doing loving actions towards other people, we actually transform our brain state from one of fear to one of abundance. And that begins to free us up because now we're not worried about, it's not fair, I'm not getting my fair share. We're going at it from a different angle.
Excellent. So when we give to others, when we have not only appreciate the gratitude, but also take the action of being generous out of that, that can help to alleviate that sense of fear.
Right, right. And generosity, you know, let's broaden it out a bit. Loving. If we're just loving towards others, because generosity comes from that loving. And I'm not talking about the emotion. You know, a lot of people have asked that question, you know, how do you love your enemy? Well, it's not about having gushy feelings towards the enemy. It's acting in a loving way towards the enemy, showing respect and trying to understand a viewpoint and being generous towards somebody else. So if we can do it towards an enemy, you know, certainly we can do it towards a neighbor that we have no hard feelings for. And we suddenly have a new way of relating to the world in a much more loving and therefore giving and generous way.
And that feeds us. Great. Let's talk about the source of power in this process, because it takes a lot of energy in order to do it. It can take a lot of energy in order to give to others. What do you say about spiritual power or connecting to a higher or a spiritual power? What resource does that play in helping us transform our lives and be generous to others?
Well, it absolutely has. It gives us a place of meaning, first of all. And if you have a sense, I believe you either have to look around and say, you know, there's obviously something bigger than us, or you have to reduce everything to nothing. And it's very hard to do that, to not see the miracles around us. In fact, I think part of the problem is that we're surrounded so much by miracles that we just kind of miss it. And so if we're tapping into the place where we recognize that we're just a piece of this bigger puzzle, that there's something greater than us, and how you name that, you know, a lot of people do different ways. For me, God has put us here for a purpose, and our purpose is to live out God's love in the world. And so then that shifts it away from my responsibility and me living out God's creation, living out God's call for us to be more loving and to show God's love in the world, that's tapping me into a different energy source. I'm not looking at why should I do that. I'm looking at how do I do that from that shift.
Right. Excellent. How that process then, Dr. Lee, you've already mentioned to some degree, but relationships. You mentioned loving relationships, love your neighbor. But I would also like to be interested in your perspective on the power of loving relationships to give us fuel, as it were, to this transformation that needs to take place. So what is the role of family, of a spouse, of mentors, of friends, of other loved ones? What role does that place into developing this sense of meaningfulness?
Yeah, so you mentioned my work with marriage couples in the bio. And so one of the things that I realized long ago is that we humans have this need for connection. And it's true for all of us. We need that connection. And so whatever we become happens in relationships. It starts out with our family of origin. You know, we're in relationship with our parents, whether they did a good job or bad job, that we took that with us and we carry that through other relationships. And so when we have those significant relationships, it anchors us to who we are and to what this is about. We need that connection. And one of the things that I recognize in my work with couples in troubled marriages is that's what's happened. They forgot to nurture or failed to nurture that connection. And as the connection wanes, they disconnect. And one of the things I talk about is the pause button marriage. You know, a lot of people fall into that, thinking that they can hit pause while they raise the kids, while they, you know, get their career going, while they earn the money, while they go pursue activities. And they think that they're going to unpause it down the road. And what they failed to realize is that relationships either grow or recede. You can't freeze one in place. And so they come back to it, they unpause it, and they don't know who the spouse is. And what that points to is the fact that we have to nurture those relationships, because that's the nurture we get. You know, when we put into a relationship, we also get that connection back. And that allows us a chance to often recharge. You know, I often think of a marriage having the potential of being the oasis in kind of the desert that we sometimes feel like we're in. You know, we're having to go do what we have to do, and it can feel like there's so little around us connecting us, that when we come back to the family, there's a chance for us to kind of replenish that and get back to a place where we feel healthy and re-energized to go back and do it again.
It's a dynamic relationship, not a static one, and things are dynamic by almost by the definition of the word, creates energy. And static depletes energy. And so that's the way I'm understanding what you're sharing here, is that when we are transformation, this living a meaningful life means you're in a dynamic relationship with these people who feed us and we're in a relationship with.
There's no such thing as a static relationship. I mean, the fact is it's either growing or receding.
Sure.
Static is it just doesn't happen.
Right. Well, what it means, static is on its way to death.
You know? That's exactly right.
Right. Yeah. In your book and in your work, Dr. Bauckham, you talk about laws of living. A law of living is different than a suggestion of living or just some good advice. You list several of them. What are some of these laws of living that you believe are just so important here? And how are they basically disciplines that we can learn or apply to our life to help us to live meaningful lives?
Yeah, so I always think of these laws kind of like gravity. You really can't escape them. You know, it's going to catch you. You might be able to get away for a little bit, but after a while, it's going to bite you. We've talked about a few. We talked about life is not fair. That's one of my big ones. Life has challenges. And a lot of times we have decided that when life challenges us, that something must be wrong with our life. We shouldn't have these challenges. And the fact is that the way we grow is through challenges. You know, if I want to build up my biceps, what do? I lift heavy things to challenge that muscle and make it grow. And yet, when tough things come in our life, we think that something's wrong with that often. So life has challenges. That's one of the laws. Another one is life isn't about happiness. we've gotten into a culture where we're chasing happiness as kind of the ultimate thing to do. Happiness is a side effect. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be happy. I'm just saying that happiness is a side effect. It's not what we chase. It's what comes out of the fact that we're doing other things. I've got a number of other laws. I'm not going to go through all of them, but a couple of things that we've also talked about is that we're built for impact. You know, I got to the jumping to the end here. We're built for that. We're built to make an impact in the world. And how we get there, for instance, one other of my laws is a thought is just a thought. This is one that trips a lot of people up because our mind is constantly creating these thoughts.
Let me jump into a couple of laws that touched me when I read through your book that I just thought were interesting and would like you to unpack them a little bit. One of them is the law that you have, people do the best they can. And it seems to me when we're just on the surface of the title of that law, that some of us might think that's kind of like giving up. You know, I just do the best I can, that I'm not living up fully. But could you say a word about how this is a law, how people, it can kind of be a response to judgment that we often have in our life? Can you speak to that law?
Absolutely. I mean, and I think it is, it's an interesting law because we apply it to others and ourselves. And sometimes we stall out on one or the other. This came out of my work of watching people over the years come into my office. And you know what they didn't tell me is they're just not trying. You know, and sometimes they had this little voice inside of them saying, I'm not doing this right. But when I dug around a little bit, they never felt like they just weren't trying. They really felt like they were trying and it wasn't working. And I realized that across the board, people do the best they can, but there is another piece of that, given where they are. You know, that's an important piece. I'm not saying that people are acting at their optimal. I'm not saying that people aren't going to be better tomorrow or maybe even in an hour, but where they are right then, they're doing the best they can. So as I work with couples, one of the things I like for them to recognize is that their spouse is doing the best they can, even if we don't like how they're doing it, that they are doing that. That doesn't mean they can't improve. It just means that we give them a little bit of empathy, a little bit of room, and a chance to do differently. And the same for ourselves. We have to apply that to ourselves. We don't always do optimal work, but that doesn't mean we weren't doing the best we could given what was going on right then. And so we do the best we can is an important thing for people to recognize that instead of chastising themselves, you can say, okay, I did the best I could. Now I can reflect on that and do better. But that doesn't mean that what I did yesterday or 2 years ago wasn't at that point the best I could do.
It seems to me it's about cutting yourself, giving yourself a bit of a break and cutting the other party a little bit of a slack. And somewhere in there, you can help develop more sense of collegiality or meaningfulness in your relationship.
Yeah, let's step into another law that helps that, and that is to accept what is, because that fits into this. A lot of times what I realize is people are struggling with not liking how their life is or what somebody else did, and so they don't want to accept it because they feel like if they accept it, they're giving in, to kind of use what you reflected on, instead of recognizing that when you accept what actually is around you, you've created the starting point. Several years ago, I was working with somebody who had a substantial amount of debt, and I said, how much debt do you have? And she said, I don't know. I don't even want to look at that. And my response was, how can you work from, at your way out of that if you don't know what you really have there? It's kind of like, if you've got some spot on your back and you say, I don't want to go to a doctor because I don't want to know what that is. It doesn't change that spot back there or what's going on with it. It just changes your basic level of knowing what you're dealing with. And so part of what I think is important is for us to be able to truly accept what's happened in our life and truly accept what we've done in our life so that we can then choose a different path that gets us to where we really want to get to.
Sure. I see some relationship in what you're talking to here, Dr. Bauckham, with your law that you have where you talk about forgiveness, forgive to fully live. I think a lot of people get stuck there. They get stuck in a bit of a condemnation or get stuck in bitterness. I think that's an important one in my experience in my counseling ministry that I do. Say a little bit about that law there, how important it is to understand where forgiveness comes from.
Well, Brad, today it's so important that I wrote a book on it that comes out next October, because this really is, for me, one of those places that keeps people stuck. Forgiveness is so misunderstood. And for me, what I watch is people struggle because they feel like if they forgive somebody, they'll let them off the hook. You know, they'll somehow give them a pass. And what I've noticed so often is this person who's not forgiving is not forgiving someone who doesn't even know that there's an issue, or might not even be around anymore, might even be dead, and yet they're still holding on to that. And so it anchors the person who feels injured to that event. So forgiveness is a process of untying yourself from that anchor, of being able to move away yourself. It doesn't require anything from the other person, because it's not about the other person. It's about me saying,
and that's where a lot of people get stuck. Isn't that where a lot of people get stuck? They think it's about what someone else does to them rather than how they react to the wrong done to them.
Yeah, they're holding it over the other person, even though it has no effect on the other person.
You're right. They don't even know what's going on most of the time.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's I call that being that bitterness piece just gets lingers for a lot of folks in this area of forgiveness or lack of.
Exactly. You know, and that's what keeps us anchored many times to the old hurts. And the problem is that when we're anchored to those old hurts, we can't make the kind of impact we could if we could let that go. We keep limping along, and it's like the anchor held back there. You know, you keep thinking you're moving forward, but man, you're dragging some stuff along that just gets in your way.
If you don't let go, you can't really move on. And speaking of moving on, you use a terminology in your writing, in your work here, that I thought was a good one. But for a lot of folks, it may seem like a bit of a difficult term to get a handle on. That is memento mori, in terms of seeing the end, seeing your death as a place to help you change. Say a word about that thought about how we can begin with the end in mind.
Yeah, so this is one of those that early Christians did, where they remembered that the way that life is important is because you're going to die. You have a certain amount of time here on earth. That's the inevitable. You know, you can't escape that. And so the question is, you have this amount of time. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to make this important? How are you going to live out your purpose during that time? If we had forever, we can take forever to figure that out. But since we only have a lifetime and we don't even know what that is, it begins to be important for us to really be focused. This came into focus for me. It's been almost 15 years ago when I got sick, and I was sick enough that we thought that it would kill me. And so from then on, after I recovered, the doctors were right about their diagnosis, not so much about their prognosis. And so after that, I've been on what I call bonus time. You know, this is the time I didn't think I would have. And it really keeps me focused when I realize that I've got a certain amount of time. I can't act like this is a dress rehearsal for something else. This is it. You know, this is my chance to make a difference. And how do I leave the world a better place? Because I am going to leave the world. You know, nobody gets out alive. So what do we do up until that point to live out all that we've been giving, all the blessings we've been giving, all the potential we've been giving? How do we take that potential and make it into not just possibility, but action, and make that impact in the world?
Excellent. I'd like to ask my guest three questions that have to do with my understanding of what a promised life is about, and that is a life of peace and purpose and prosperity. So just like to ask you, Dr. Bauckham, what brings you peace?
Being around people who I love and who love me. I mean, that really is my anchor point. I have a lot swirling around me. So being in those relationships that make a difference, that brings me peace. The other place that brings me peace is kind of the opposite of that, being somewhere in nature. I find God surrounds me when I'm paddleboarding or when I'm trail running or when I'm doing something else out in nature.
Wonderful. What is your purpose?
My purpose is to help others tap into their purpose and to help people find their way of making a bigger impact in the world.
And how do you personally define prosperity?
You know, it's not about the wealth you have. I do think that there is something about the wealth that allows you to do greater things. But prosperity is a feeling of awareness of all that you do have, of all the blessings that are around you. Prosperity for me is being aware of those daily moments of miracles that that kind of disappear if you're not looking for them.
And just a couple more things to kind of wrap this up. What have been some influences on you? Books, resources, people, teachers, mentors. What have been some resources that have been influential on you?
Yeah, biggest one is my clients. I find that listening to my clients, watching them grow has been the greatest resource. Along the way, though, I grew up in a strong family of faith. My father was a minister. My mother was a school counselor. So I kind of got this whole psychology and spirituality thing and faith development from the very beginning. And so that gave me a good anchor base. Along the way, I find relationships with various professors have been the formations. And so more than and the little secret is I'm dyslexic. So reading is a challenge for me. So more than those books, I find learning to be in the relationship with people who really are struggling to do or doing the difference in the world.
Excellent. And then if we're speaking to basically one person or perhaps one married couple who are dealing with this issue of meaninglessness or feeling stuck, what is just one bit of advice, one phrase that you might share with them just to get them started?
Switch from looking for what you're not getting to what you can put in. I think that that is a pivotal point for any relationship. What am I getting out is very dangerous. What am I putting in is what opens it up.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Bakken, what are you working on these days? And if people want to find out more about you, and be understand the resources that you have. What are you working on? How can people be in connection with you?
Yeah, so the big thing we're pushing right now is those immutable laws. And the easy place to find out about that is to go to ineedthatbook.com. And that'll send you to the right place. So ineedthatbook.com. But you can also find me on the Thriveology podcast and the Save the Marriage podcast. Right now, what I'm writing about is how to make that meaning in life, how to find make it matter, how to make your life matter. And along the way will be my book on how to forgive, which comes out in October.
What an awesome message from Dr. Lee Bakken, the author of The Immutable Laws of Living. I know that you've got some great things there from his message, some practical takeaways. I want to encourage you to get his book, The Immutable Laws of Living, The Inspirational Blueprint to Living Your Meaningful Life. If you want to change, if you want to get a new attitude in your life, this is a great tool to get it. Let's look at a few of the takeaways that Dr. Bakken gives us today, and I want you to hang on to these. Several things here. Remember, he lists a bunch of laws that he has, and you can take a look at those in his book and in his writings, and you will understand those a little bit better. But basically, he's just saying, you know, that life has a lot of challenges, and one of the things we have to do is to accept that life has challenges, and when we accept that life has challenges, that means we choose to grow through those challenges. It's not about happiness. Some people think it's about seeking happiness. But happiness is a side effect of accepting the challenges of an engaged life that deals with the challenges. And one of the laws he says is just to accept what is, that there are certain things in life that just happen and we can't do much about them. We have to accept what it is and deal with from that point. And so instead of thinking about how life isn't fair then and how life isn't working, accept what is and move from that place as a starting point. And I love that. Just don't whine and complain about what could have been or should have been or could have been, but to take what is your present reality and move forward in faith. That's our starting point. I love that. He also talks about the law to forgive. And to forgive means that you do not let the party who has wronged you control you. You choose then to be fully alive and to not be stuck in a rut where you allow lack of forgiveness to go to a place of bitterness. You need to break free of that by forgiving other people. That's the law of forgiveness. And that can be a helpful thing for you to have in your life. He also talked about an understanding of death as being a great focusing point of our life. He had an experience in his life when he was deathly ill. He almost died, and he considers his life beyond that point. Bonus time, it also gave him the perspective that You only have one life, so make it count. And so see your death as a place that you can reflect back from and that you can make changes now in order to understand that you have a great life in front of you if you wanted to have. Life isn't fair, but we have opportunities to adjust to life is here with us. He talked about the source of power being his spiritual life, and that can be a spiritual life for all of us. That's what gives life meaning, for a life greater than ourselves. And other than that, there's only really two choices. It's a binary choice. You can either believe that something is bigger than yourself, God, your spiritual life, or the opposite of that is nothingness. So why don't we choose something over nothing? You see, that's an important thing about defining a meaningful life, is to have a purpose, to have his meaning to get through the tough parts of life. He talked about having peace that comes from being around the people you love, to serve them, to love and to be loved, and to be connected with nature and things of the natural world. And he talked about a purpose of being able to help other people find their purpose. An understanding is that prosperity has to do with an understanding that there's generosity all around us, that we have great gifts all around us. And he talked in terms of advice for some of us who need to have a change of our attitude. The most important thing we can do is switch in our life, switch from attitude of away from not from what we are not getting to an attitude to what are we putting into this life, particularly into our relationships. Some great stuff there from Dr. Lee Bockham. I commend his book to you, and we'll put in the show notes the connections to how to get his book and his other resources, which are available to you. One of the best resources we have for you here on the Pathway to Promise podcast is our website, pathwaypromise.com. You can go there and find the back catalog of all the great guests we've had here on the Pathway to Promise podcast and other resources regarding life transformation, helping you to find your promised life. That's why we're here. I'm Dr. Brad Miller, and I'm here to serve you and to bring you great guests and great people who can help teach you and lead you in ways that can lead to true life transformation. Because we truly believe that there is a God-given promised life for you, of peace and prosperity and purpose. And there's a pathway that's set out for you, if we just follow it, that you can get through the challenges of life and achieve your promised life. If you like what you hear here on the Pathway to Promise podcast, please, please, please go over to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating if you like what you hear, and then put a line or two of a review. We would love that, and we want to follow. We got some free gifts for folks coming up, some books and some other resources, and some consultation with me that's going to be available. If you put some notice in the notes there, in the review, that can help us be engaged with you. You can engage with us on the website as well, and we will be in coordination and communication with you. We're here to serve. And if you will, please know that there are people in your life, in your network, that I bet the Pathway to Promise podcast can be helpful to. So connect up with them in your social media network and in your personal network. You know folks who we can be helpful to. Well, that's going to be about wrapping up this episode of the Pathway to Promise podcast. You're going to want to join us each week and invite others to do the same, because we're always going to bring you stuff that is pertinent and helpful to your life to help you move from a life of meaninglessness to a life of meaningfulness. And it starts with a change of attitude. So until next time, friends, this is Dr. Brad Miller inviting you to keep your promises, because there's power in a promise kept.
Thanks so much for taking the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. As a subscriber, you'll be a vital part of the Pathway to Promise community. Visit us on the web at pathwaypromise.com. Until next time, remember to stay on your Pathway to Promise.